Take your Bible this morning, if you will. We'll go to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Our theme, really, for the mission conference and for the year is that the world may know him. That the world may know him. Well, I want to preach to you on this morning on the subject of that I may know him. That I may know him. I hope you feel that way. But we'll preach to you about it anyway, all right? Hope if you don't feel that way, you'll get the feeling that way before we get through, all right? Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Would you do me a favor this morning? Would you just focus in? Forget about everything else. Forget about your troubles. If your car's broken down, all right? There a couple of weeks ago, I came to church. I had no electricity at my house. The main breaker had kicked, and it wouldn't come back. So just focus with me, all right? Pay attention to what's going on. Hear what's preached and listen. Do your best not to bother anybody, disturb anybody. If you have to go out, when you come back in, just plant it on the back row, all right? Don't come back all the way up to the front if you have to, or wherever you're at, all right? Plant it there. Just help people to pay attention. When I go to church, I never sit towards the back because there's always things going on between you and what's going on at the front. I mean, you see it all back there. People scratching their heads, you know, and staring at the ceiling or whatever people do. So, man, just focus in with us, would you, on the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. The Bible said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And I want you to go back, look at that first phrase of verse 10, where the Bible says that I may know him. I'm sure this morning if I were to pass out a questionnaire today and ask you who you would like to meet. Now, if we didn't do it in the church setting, we'd get different answers. It's amazing how pious people become when you get in a church building. But you get them outside that and you talk to them, and I'm sure though if I did that, get all kind of answers, maybe. Be a lot of people would be, you know, interested in meeting some sports star. I understand there's a big football game later today, the Super Bowl. By the way, because of the Super Bowl, we're going to change the time of Sunday night service. We're not going to start at 6. We're going to start at 6:01. All right. I'm just kidding about that. We're not going to change anything, all right? But a lot of people get excited and they want to meet certain sports stars. Sometimes people won't meet entertainers, you know, movie stars, singers, that kind of deal. And some of those I might enjoy meeting also. I've met world champion boxers. The only trouble was I met him when he was that tall and he wasn't a world champ, all right? He rode my bus for years from over in Diamond Hill. And, his name was Cruz, and he later, I remember going to their house on Saturday, and that Saturday, and they said, "We're boxing today." It's two brothers, Steve and Adam. Steve and Adam Cruz said, "We're boxing." They were both that big. I didn't think they were strong enough to hold up the gloves, all right? But old Steve Cruz later became world's champ boxer. Man, I know some famous people. The last time I saw him, and I'm not making fun. I hope you don't misunderstand. When I last time I saw him, saw him at Brother Barber's funeral. He was Brother Barber's next door neighbor for years. They grew up there. And the last time I saw him and talking to him was that funeral. And he told me now He was the world's champ, but now he's working in a warehouse. You know, a lot of things happen in life, you know. We get excited about people because for just a moment, they're famous. They're famous. But I'm going to tell you this. I confess when I read these words right here, man, I am moved and challenged by what is said to us. God used the Apostle Paul to make it real plain. He said to us that he had met him and he had suffered the loss of all things because of Jesus Christ. Yet he said all of that was as if it was nothing. He said what he wanted was to know him, to know him. Man, that just stirs my heart, you know, how I would like to know him, not just as a casual acquaintance. Not just somebody I said, hey, how you doing? Yep, nice to meet you. No, I mean to really know him. Not just a simple knowledge of the person, but to really know him. I mean in a close relationship, to know him intimately, to know him deeply, to know him on all levels. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you hear that and you think and you wonder why. Why so important to know him? I'm going to give you several reasons this morning. The first one's found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. Would you turn there in your Bible? That I may know him. Why? Well, because John chapter 1, you flip there, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Won't you notice this verse? Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. Talking about that same him. Talking about Jesus Christ said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hey, can I say this to you? Said, why you want to know him? Because in him is life. I'm talking about real living. Without him, there is no life. There is no life. The Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. If you haven't been quickened, you said, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means made alive. If you've not been made alive by him, then you're still dead in your sins. You said, preacher, I ain't dead. I'm here. Look at me. I can move. I'm here. I can talk. I can speak. I can get up. I can walk out. You make me mad, I'll walk out. Now, if you walk out, we'll all know why. Okay. Hey, the truth of the matter is, you hear me, you may be walking, you may be talking, but you're dead in your sins if you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as your personal Savior. Because it's when you trust him, you really begin to live. It's that new birth that gives you life in him. It's that new birth that awakens that spirit and that soul and brings life to that and gives you something that will change you forever. You've never met him, you're still dead. You say, well, I went through all this process. I don't care about the process. You say, well, I've been baptized. Good for you, but if you weren't saved, you just got wet. Baptism does you no good until you've been born again. It's not baptism unless you've been born again. Hey, in him is life. So that I know me him. Why? Because in him is life. Life. But wait a minute. You still got your Bible there, John? Go to John chapter 10. When we talk about that life, we're not just talking about any old life, okay? We're not just talking about being able to breathe, all right? Notice what he says. Notice what's said in verse 10 of John chapter 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here's the testimony of Jesus. He said, I am come that they might have life. Hey, if it stopped right there, that would be pretty good, wouldn't it? If it just ended right there, that they might have life. But it doesn't end there. Notice what it says. Notice what it says. And that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, not just life, but an abundant life. abundant life. Hey, it's way above the life lived by those that are lost. Now, there's people today, boy, they live the high roller life, you know. And used to, there was a television show called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And a lot of people, boy, would watch that and covet. So if I could only have that, if I could only have that big mansion, you know, that covers a football field, and I've had all of that, and then had inside a basketball court or gym and a workout gym and a pool. And boy, if I could just live that life. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of lost people today that's got all of that, and they're as unhappy as they can be. Now, they may be unhappy in splendor as the world knows it, but I'll tell you, this abundant life we're talking about is way above that life lived by those that are lost. The truth is, it's so much so that they can't even comprehend it. They would look at you and you tell them something like that and they go, man, you're crazy. You said, you're living down there in a little three-bedroom house, you know, it's got two bath, two-car garage, and you're struggling to pay for that, and said, I'm living here in this 14-bedroom house, and I think, how many you sleep in at a time, buddy? Hey, they can't comprehend what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, that life that's abundant life also goes above that that's lived by the Christian who merely got saved and never grew. Yeah, I got saved back yonder. I trusted the Lord. And okay, I'm not going to hell. Yeah, but you missed it. Hey, that crowd never gives God a chance to show them what that abundant life really is. But God saved you and offers you an abundant life. A life that to live that life is a life of excitement and thrills and joy. You can't beat it, all right? He said, preacher, do you really have that? Yep. I'm enjoying that life. Enjoying that life. And I don't have to have anybody around me. I can be right by myself and just have a big old time, man. Thinking about what God's done for me. Just what a blessing. Living that abundant life. You say, preacher, you don't seem like you got much. Well, man, I got two cars and they're both paid for. Amen. Only one of them's got over 100,000 miles on it. That's good. Doing all right. I got two kids. They still love me. Man, that's a good thing. I put that as a plus. I got a wife that still tolerates me, and I'm happy with that, all right? After all the years, still puts up with me. Now I got grandkids. Grandkids that come and want to crawl in my lap and want me to tickle them and fight with them. Said, how's that going? I'm having a good time. Having a good time. God's been good. Hey, you hear me. There's an abundant life. There's an abundant life that comes to that child of God that's saved. Do you know what? That I may know him. Why? Because that life's in him. It is in him. In him. Hey, but there's something else. You're in John, the Gospel of John. I want you to go way over in the New Testament to the first epistle of John. 1 John, if you will, in your Bible. 1 John chapter 1. The first epistle of John. Little books close to the end of your Bible there, all right? If you get to 1 Peter, you're almost there. If you get to 2 Peter, you're really hot, all right? Because you're right there at it. 1 John. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 1, would you? All right? 1 John chapter 1. Right, we're thinking about that life. We're talking about to know him. To know him. Notice verse 4 of 1 John chapter 5 says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Amen. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. That I may know him. Why? Because there's no darkness in him. In him. That John 1:4 said that in him, the life, that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. When you can know him, you'll find there's no darkness in him. None at all. People today talk about the dark side. None of that in him. Folks today talk about, and the dark web. You won't find him on the dark web. There's no darkness in him at all. In him is light, and he's light. In him is no darkness at all. If you know him, you don't need to live in the dark. You don't need to live in the dark. The psalmist said that he lights my candle. He lights my candle. What a wonderful, what a wonderful picture that is of the Lord putting a light on us. You see, he does give us light. There's no darkness in him. Darkness really has to flee in his presence. You find in him and in his word the light of knowledge of the truth. You just find it. You like the truth. There's nothing that is as enlightening as the truth is. Have you ever talked to somebody maybe about any kind of subject and they're kind of looking at you like this and you're trying to explain a deal to them and they're still looking at you like this and you explain it the fourth time and all of a sudden the light comes on. I got it. I understand. Hey, with him, there's no darkness in him. Hey, you get in him, you'll not be deceived by the lies and the falsehood that is in this world. Man, there's tons of it out there. Lies, people will lie to you. They'll try their best to deceive you. I'm so glad in him there's no darkness at all. None. You come to God, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything's open. It's right there. He wants you to see it. He wants you to know it. You and I, we can know the truth. And the Bible said it's that truth that sets the believer free. Well, where does that come from? In him. In him. No darkness at all. Years ago, country singer Hank Williams wrote the song, I Saw the Light. And I'm going to tell you, in him, I did see the light. And you can see it too, and you can know that truth. You can know that light. You can enjoy that light. Hey, you hear me? You can live in the light. A lot rather live in the light. You ever wake up, you ever have that experience where the lights go out at night, you're at home, and all of a sudden the electricity goes off? We're so used to light that when we get up, the electricity just went off. We get up to find the flashlight. We're so used to it, we go in the next room and flip the light switch on, knowing the electricity is off. But we flip that light while we're used to it. We get plunged into that darkness. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad that spiritually speaking, man, when you get born again and you get in him, there's no darkness at all. You don't have to wander through life going, man, I wish I knew what to do, and I wish I could find the answer. I wish I could see my way. In him, there's no darkness at all. In him. In him. Why? God's light. There's no darkness at all. Hey, why do I want to know him? Because in him, there's no darkness at all. Boy, just to know him. To know him. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 in your Bible. Paul said it, boy, that I may know him. Preacher, what's the big deal? Well, in him is life. I sort of like the abundant life. I like living it up. I like that abundant life. Hey, in him, there's no darkness at all. But wait a minute. You look at Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hey, you get that? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you want to know God, if you want to know God, you can find him and learn of him once you know his son. Once you know that son. Because you'll not know God apart from that. And the Bible says, in his son dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Notice that next word, bodily. bodily. You see, it's Jesus Christ, God became flesh. The Bible in Philippians said he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in likeness of man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hey, it's in him. God was manifest in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us God is a spirit. And we that worship him in spirit and in truth. But he sent his son, who was God in the flesh, bodily, that we could understand, we could touch him, we could see him. Man could know him. Why? So we could understand God. Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. In him, he's all God, all right? He took upon himself the form of a man. He took upon himself a body. God became flesh. And all the fullness of God is in him, is in his person, all right? We know God because we know his son. Jesus, when he was on this earth, said it this way. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You've seen the Father. You don't know God apart from knowing his Son. You can't do it, all right? Can't do it. It is in him. All the Godhead dwells in him. Boy, just to know God. You said, boy, I wish I could know him. Well, you can in his Son. In his Son. Oh, that I may know him. Why? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Just to know him. To know God. There's people wandering around in the world today that's got the craziest ideas of God you ever heard of in your life. Man, it's just nutcakes out there. Man, it is strange stuff. And you listen to them talk and they say, well, I believe this. Many times I want to say, it's okay, you can believe anything you want to. It is a free country. But what you believe doesn't change the truth. If you want to know the truth of God, you'll know it in his Son, Jesus Christ, in him. You say, why you want to know him? Because in him is life, and I do like life. In him, there's no darkness at all, and I do like that light. Man, I like that. I enjoy the light. I'm like my dad. My dad, if he'd go out to eat, he said, man, you go into these restaurants, and this place is barely lit. He said, I want to see what I'm eating. And I agree with him. I agree with you. Don't like that dimly lit stuff. I was invited one time to preach to a youth. They were having a banquet up in Tulsa, Oklahoma at a Christian school. And I got invited up there to preach at that banquet. So I got up there. Now, if you don't understand, if you've never preached or you've never even taught, got up there and they said, now we're going to turn the lights down real low. I hope that doesn't bother you. I'm thinking, well, it doesn't really matter. You've already told me what you're going to do. Now, preaching, you draw something from the people. I'm up there speaking of that banquet. I couldn't see the folks, the faces. I could see their outlines, but I couldn't see their faces. Hey, I'm standing up here. I can see you. I know if you're looking at me or not, or you're gazing at the ceiling, or, you know, looking at your watch saying, bless God, how long is it going to be before he quits? You know, I know that. I can see that. I like it light. I like preaching to people I can see. Man, when COVID first kicked in and we were live streaming from the office at the school, because that's where we had internet, I'm up there staring in this little bitty camera. And I thought, I hope somebody's out there, you know, because I had no idea. And I'm just up there just entertaining myself, and I hope somebody was listening. Man, it was a challenge. I like standing here and seeing you and be able to preach to you people, all right? I like that light. I like that light. Acts chapter 17, if you will. I want you to look down in verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28. That I may know him. Said why? Verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Boy, you see that in him we live and move and have our being. What a thought. What a thought. Hey, that gives us the truth of another Bible verse. I want you to hang on to this place, but go to Galatians chapter 2, would you? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and look down in verse 20. A very well-known verse that I think sometimes people, we quote it, but we don't really think about it too much. Galatians 2 verse 20. The Bible says this, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why? In him we live and move and have our being. Hey, that's it. Hey, to know him is to really live. To really live. Life ain't too much worth living without the Lord. Life's just not too much worth living. Would you just think about it a little bit? You said, wait a minute, preacher, you're talking about your kids and your grandkids and all that. Yep. And but I didn't tell you about having to work. Have to get up and go to work. All right, I mean, every day, you know, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you go to bed, you get up next day, do it again. And you do that over and over and over for years and years and years. And at the end, when you get down there, you look at it and you say, well, do I have enough to retire on? I don't have any idea if you've got enough to retire on, all right? Got no idea. But we worry about all of that. Then you worry that every little ache or pain, is that cancer? Is this going to be the end? Hey, I haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. Did I make them mad? Are they not talking about me? Are they not talking to me and just talking about me now? Hey, listen, you go through this life, you live this life, you die, and you got a hole in the ground without Christ. Oh, but you hear me, with him. To live is Christ. The Bible says to die is gain, all right? To die is gain. But this life lived in him. Man, to live it is to live above the world. It's not to live down here on the level of the lost who will cheat and steal and lie and everything they can and fight and fuss and fume just so they can come out and say, look at me, I got more than you. Well, ring a ding ding. Doesn't matter. It's in him you find a reason to live. In him, you find a reason. Hey, that reason's not in you. It's above you and it's beyond you. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Just to know him. That I could live. I mean, really live. That abundant life. In him we live and move. Have our being. Thank God. That's true. You see, I see the picture of that individual without Christ. Down here, you get on the street, you're driving along, and you see somebody pushing a buggy with all their belongings in that buggy and living that life on the street. Many times, most of the time, struggling because of alcohol or drugs. Can I say this to you? You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. There is a God in heaven that sent his Son to die for our sin that we might have life. But that life is in his Son. It's in his Son. I ask you this morning, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you really want to know him? You say, preacher, I've been saved. Well, that's the beginning. But that's not the end. That's simply the beginning. That's the start. That's it. That's the start. Years ago, I was reading an article in a an outdoor sports magazine. And in that article, they talked about how that if you fly fished, you will catch more fish fly fishing than you will fish. Now, I like to fish. And I thought, well, if you can catch more fish, I'm going to learn to fly fish. So I got me a fly rod. I went and bought a fly rod and a fly line, all that kind of stuff. And I got this video. I watched this video teach you how to cast. You ever watch that fly fisherman, how he slings that line, you know, and you look at it and you wonder, how does he do that? Well, there's a technique to it. I learned that, how to fly cast. I learned all of that. And I never caught a fish on that pole. Because I even went to a fly fishers club meeting one time. But I never caught a fish. Said, why? Because all I learned to do was cast. I never got to the water with it and threw the fly in the water. Never did it. But I can fly, I can cast. I can tell you how to fly cast. Tell you how to do it. But I never caught a fish. Hey, that's the way a lot of people are. They get saved, but they never go past that. Never go past it. Hey, listen, you've got to be born again. That's where you meet him. You'll never know him without salvation. You have to be born again. But salvation is not all there is to knowing him. But I got good news. He wants you to know him. And he wants to know you. And he invites you to come. He invites you to come to him. He tells you, if you'll come, I'll give you rest. If you'll come, I'll help you. I'll answer your prayer. I'll be there with you. And he's given us his book. He's told us what to do and how to live. And if you want to know him, you do what it says. Boy, just to know him. To know him. Why? In him's life. In him is life. Hey, in him there's no darkness at all. It's an abundant life, above and beyond just simple existing. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You don't know God, you know his son. Hey, in him we live. I got a reason. He gave me a reason to live. He gave me a reason to live. I'll tell you what, if all you're living for is just to stack up a stack of money, you have got to be kidding. So I just want to have all that stuff money can give. Okay, good. Get you a monster house. Get you a monster house. Then you have to hire somebody to clean it because you know your wife's not going to clean that house. Because you got all that money, she's going to say, it'll mess up my fingernails. I ain't going to do that. So that's out. You know, you're going to do all that. And you're going to have to pay for all those things. Get you a television set that covers the whole stinking wall. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you, when you die, you're going to leave the same thing I'm going to leave when I die. You're going to leave it all. Now, your all may make a bigger pile than mine does. But so what? Hey, I got a reason to live. When I met the Lord, do you know him? Do you know him? You know what? It's because I know him that I want everybody else to know him. Because I know him. I tell you, it's a good thing to know him. Good thing to know him. Do you know him? Do you want to know him? You'll never really know him unless you really want to. It's up to you. Maybe you're here this morning, never trusted his son. You never called upon him to save your soul. You ought to do that today. You ought to do that today. Christian, you're here and you really listen to the message and you're thinking, I don't get out of it what he's got. But it's not my fault and it's not God's fault. God give you the same thing he give me. But you got to want it and you got to come for it. It's up to you. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? We get ready to sing the invitation hymn. Listen, I want to ask you, how about it? Do you really know him? Do you want to know him? Do you want to know him? Then you could come. This would be the place to get things going. If you never trust him as your Savior, you can come and be saved. If you're saved, but you really never have put much into it since then, hey, you can come and God will make a difference for you right here, right today. God dealing with you. Would you come this morning? Heavenly Father, we call upon you today. We ask you to do what only you can do. Lord, I ask you this morning to bring conviction in hearts. Lord, there's folks that here maybe never trusted Christ. Would you help them today? Have the courage, step out and walk forward and trust Christ this morning, right here. Lord, there's Christians that they really don't know you. They've just barely got a knowledge of what salvation is. But they've been saved a long time. They could know you. Lord, every one of us ought to want to love you and know you more. Deal with us today where we are, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. He's calling you this morning. Would you come to him today? Would you come? If you need to talk to me, I'll meet you here at the front. Maybe you just need to do business with God. Would you come today while we sing it? Come on.